This is an interview with Martha Lee Jackson for the California State College Bakersfield California Honesty Project by Stacy Jagels at 1272 Villa, No. 2, Clovis, California, on Tuesday, March 10th, 1981, at 10 a.m. Well, I thought we'd start first with when and where you were born.
I was born in Lena, Oklahoma. It's spelled L-E-N-N-A, Lena, Oklahoma. July 13th, 1922.
Could you tell me a little bit about your childhood?
Well, starting like at what age? Like,
however far back you can remember.
Well, I lived with my aunt until I was 3 years old. My father remarried, and that was when we moved to Maud, Oklahoma. There was an oil boom there, and a lot of people were moving to Maud, Oklahoma to work in the oil fields, and that was when we first went there. I was, my father worked for the Magnolia Oil Company, and then he worked for the railroad. And he always farmed, had a truck farm, and
could you tell me a little bit about what you mean by truck farm?
Produce, like vegetables, and then he would sell them on the street, you know, like he'd hitch up his wagon and drive around town, and he always let me go with him and ring a bell. And the ladies would come out and buy their vegetables for that day, and
he did that in addition to working
uh-huh,
in the oil field.
Uh-huh. And for the railroad. And I can't think of anything else he did.
Mm-hmm. How big was your family?
There were 6 children in our family. My first half sister was born when I was 4 years. No, I was 3 years old. I wasn't quite 4. And there were 5 other children. And 6 altogether. They were all half brothers and sisters because my mother died when I was 2 weeks old. And that makes it a little confusing for me because I stayed with my father and grandparents, and my grandmother died, and then I lived with my aunt, and then I lived with my stepmother, my father, and so it's a little different childhood, I think.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell me a little bit about where you lived in Maud, the house you lived in?
Okay. When we first went to Maud, we lived in a tent. Many people did because there just wasn't enough houses for the oil boom, so my father built a floor, a tent size, and we lived in that for, I don't know if it was 6 months or a year, and then we moved to a house, and we always lived in a house after that. He rented a farm, and I was about 6 years old when he rented a farm, a sharecropper, I think, and and then, let's see, I guess we lived in about 4 different, on 4 different farms until we moved to California.
Mm-hmm. Did he have a problem making enough money farming? Is that why you kept moving from
California? No. We lived on one, he just rented a larger place each time just to, you know, to increase his, our living, make our living better. I think we were farming about 80 acres of land, and then he used to rent, if there was a field that he could rent that, and we'd grow cotton or cane or something on it, just to add to our income.
Were you very well off?
Oh, no.
Then,
no,
as
we,
compared to the other people?
No, we were not any better off. It seemed like everybody was just, almost everybody was the same. They just made a living. And that was all.
Could you tell me a little bit about school?
Well, we had the first school I went to was in the oil fields. It was called Rock Springs School at St. Louis. They called it St. Louis, Oklahoma. The oil fields was named St. Louis. And I had to walk maybe 3 or 4 miles. And the first year, I didn't get to go to school because I had, like I say, it was in the oil fields, and there was just people from all over the world there. And my father was afraid for me to walk, and he couldn't take me. So I didn't get to start the school until I was 6 years old. I should have started when I was 5. And after that, I went to Central High School, which was, it was called Central High School, and the grades were from kindergarten through 12. And there probably wasn't 200 children in the whole school, maybe 100, I don't know. It wasn't very large. And I went there until I was 15 years old. I went to that one school until I moved to California. And I think there was about 5 rooms in the school. So, you know, it was a very small school.
And when you came to California, did you continue in school then?
Yes, I did. I continued in school. I went to Clovis High School here in Clovis. And I went to junior college 1 year, but that was much later.
Mm-hmm.
And I was about 30 years old.
How about the rest of your brothers and sisters? How far did they go in their education?
They all finished high school. And one sister graduated from college. My youngest sister, she's 51 years old. She graduated from Fresno State College, and she's married to a lawyer here in Fresno. And
when you were in school in Oklahoma, did you have to help out on a farm growing the vegetables? Did you have some chores that you had to do every day?
Yes. Every day when we got home from school, we put on our work clothes and we went out and we picked cotton or chopped corn chopped cotton or thinned corn, picked tomatoes. We fed the hogs and the chickens and helped milk the cows. And we had school every summer. We went to school. We had summer school for 6 weeks. And then school didn't start again until October, because that was the harvest time and we had to help pick the cotton. And we used to, we were never paid for picking cotton when we worked for somebody else. We exchanged labor. I don't remember ever being paid for doing anything in Oklahoma like that. And when we came to California, of course, we were paid by the sack, by the pound, when we picked cotton. Mm-hmm. But in Oklahoma, I remember us working like a week or 2 weeks helping a farmer with his cotton or whatever had to be harvested at that time. And there was never an exchange of money. No one had any money.
Mm-hmm. So you might exchange
just
for milk or eggs or whatever you happen to have?
Uh-huh, mostly labor.
Mm-hmm.
Is what we exchanged, just to help the other person. We just didn't expect any money, really. But people were very generous with their food. If someone killed a cow or a calf or whatever, you just divided with your neighbors. And same with labor, anything. You know, if someone was sick, you just helped them. You never expected money.
Was there a strong community atmosphere?
Yes.
It sounds like
there was.
It was a small town and everyone probably
mm-hmm.
knew everyone else.
That's right.
People were very close.
Mm-hmm. Most of the people, I think they knew each other in Arkansas and Missouri back in the 1800s. A lot of them knew the people that far back in our neighborhood.
Did you ever have to stay out of school
yes.
to help do the crops?
Not so much to do with crops, but maybe to help with housework and things like that. I'd take care of one of the children if my parents had to go away for the day, but not to work in the fields. I never had to stay out of school for that.
Well, you were the oldest.
Uh-huh.
Then,
mm-hmm.
You must have had a lot of extra work.
I did.
Taking care of
yes.
the younger kids and helping around the house. Then.
Mm-hmm. I did. Help with the washing. We had to heat our water in what did we call it? A pot, I guess. A large iron kettle, that's what it was called. And we had to build a fire. We had to draw the water out of a well. We didn't have a pump. A lot of people did. And we had to fill our kettle and build a fire under it and heat our wash water and our bath water, too, during the summer. And hang her clothes out on a clothesline. We used the washboard, of course, and it was a lot of work. And so I did have to stay out of school to help with that.
Did you find that a problem, or were you
yes.
able to catch up?
yeah, I did. I found it a problem. And I'm glad children don't have to do that today.
Okay.
I don't think they do, anyway.
Can you tell me anything about the houses that you lived in, how large they were, and whether you had to share with a lot of other brothers and sisters, or?
We had a three-bedroom house, and I have three sisters, two sisters and three brothers, so we had a bedroom. Our own bedroom, but we did sleep in the same bed. The three girls and the three boys slept in the same bed. We didn't have a lot of furniture. I can't remember having like a couch like we have today. I think we had a small bed, I'm not sure, in our living room. We always had a wood fire, kerosene lamp, and in Oklahoma we didn't have an ice box because if we had ice there, usually it was delivered from Seminole, Oklahoma. And on the 4th of July, there was always someone around selling ice so everybody could have ice cream on the 4th of July. And the houses were probably built in 1850 or 1875. They were getting old. They were built with green lumber, my dad said, and the cracks, they had cracks in them. The floors had cracks. If you weren't lucky enough to have a carpet on your floor, you just had cold air in the winter, and they were almost all the houses, the country houses, were like that.
Can you tell me what you did with your leisure time? Say, if you have some time left over in the evenings or on weekends?
I don't think we had any leisure time.
Mm-hmm.
We went to church, and they had what they call camp meetings. We always went to them. They were mostly at night, and there were activities at school like 4-H. We had 4-H club meetings. And they had what they call pie suppers. I was a little young. I don't remember participating too much. That was usually the older girls who were dating, and it seems like, I mean, that's the way I remember it. And we played baseball, and we had rodeos. Those were always on Sunday, but I can't really remember anything in the evenings. We just went to bed early because we got up early and worked the next day, all day.
Mm-hmm.
And
what time did you usually get up in the morning?
About 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning to milk the cows and feed the animals. And my dad always liked to be in the field by daylight. And he worked until 4 or 5 o'clock.
Could you tell me a little bit more about these camp meetings and church? Was this a Baptist church?
Well, mostly Church of God. The Baptists didn't have so many camp meetings, but this was the Church of God and the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ was new in our area, and I remember some people came from another state. They called them Camelites, and it's really the Church of Christ. And they were, I don't think you call it recruiting, but getting people for their congregation. But the Church of God, or the Holy Rollers, I think they were called, they had a lot of camp meetings. And we always went because there wasn't a lot of things to do. And I shouldn't say it was just some place to go. It wasn't. But, you know, we went because it was church. But we were Baptists, but we still went to those meetings.
Was it kind of a social event?
Uh-huh, then? It was. It was a social event. And it seemed like almost everybody came to those meetings.
Mm-hmm. Were they very lengthy?
Do you mean like each night or like,
yeah
they were. They kept you too long. Mm-hmm. Children were all sleepy and you had to go to work, the men had to work the next day. And they were too lengthy, and usually they would only last for 2 weeks at a time. They would, and then next year they'd be back again. Sometimes they built arbors, like brush arbors, and then at the schoolhouse they would have some activities of preachings or whatever they call them in those days.
Do you remember what the meetings were like and what the people said?
Well, I can remember what they did more than what they said. They used to they'd pray a lot and dance around and roll on the floor. And I thought that was kind of strange, but we still went just the same. And I don't really remember what they said other than they just read the Bible and then preached about it like they do the same today. Mm-hmm. In some places, I know.
And so then did you also attend church?
Yes.
Sunday?
Uh-huh. Most of the time, church was in our school because we lived like 5 miles from town. So they had services in our school, in the auditorium. Unless we drove into town. Once in a while, we did. My grandfather was a Baptist minister, and one of my uncles was a minister, so he was active. I don't think he really had a church, but he was active, and his wife played the piano in the church at Maud, Oklahoma. His name was Bill Morgan, and his wife was Sybil Morgan.
Did just about everybody you knew go to church?
Yes, at least the ones my age, even if their parents didn't go, most of the children did go. And I can't remember, seems like almost all the parents went to church.
You also mentioned something about going to 4-H.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
That was rather new in our area. I think only the last 2 years that we were there, we had 4-H. And I grew vegetables, and we had projects, sewing projects. And we went to a town called Seminole to meet with girls from all over the area, a sewing project to demonstrate, tell how we made it, and they picked a winner. I can't remember who the winner was, but my vegetable garden didn't amount to that much. You know, there was never I just did it. I think that all of us had a vegetable garden, and I can't remember anyone ever coming to look at my vegetable garden or anything. So I guess the sewing projects were more important. And our 4-H.
Did you like going to school then?
Oh, yes. I liked going to school. It was really harder for children, I think, to get an education because the parents had to buy all of their books and everything, and some of them couldn't afford it. I remember some children who didn't go to school. I don't think it was compulsory in 1937. And my father and the principal at school went around the neighborhood and collected clothes for the children, some of the children, to get them into school, the one that they knew about. And but it was, we had a good school. The teachers, my teachers and my father grew up together, and they'd known each other since they were small children.
When you came out to California and went to school out here, did you find many differences between the school here and the one back in Oklahoma?
Yes, I did. I think the main difference was our clothes were different, and the kids made fun of us a lot.
Aww.
Because our dresses were still longer. We just hadn't caught up yet. Our dresses were still longer than the coats.
Were you and up ahead or behind anything?
I felt that we were ahead because we had summer school, and we had just about the same thing. Oklahoma was quite a bit like California, I think. The main difference was we had to switch from Oklahoma history to California history, and I think, I remember having the same thing in school here as I had in Oklahoma during the summer. So it must have been quite a bit the same, even though the textbooks were different. I think it was taught on the same level.
Do you remember ever having dances or parties or
well,
anything like that?
My folks were pretty religious, but they did have square dances and fiddle players. My stepmother's brothers were fiddle players, and they had square dances in the house and at other people's house. But they didn't go out to dances. That was sinful. Just square dances and the ladies used to quilt, but of course there was quilting parties, but then that was in the home, social gathering in the home. And
I wondered a little bit about your parents. Were they also born in Oklahoma, or did they come to Oklahoma from someplace else?
My father was born in Oklahoma in 1900. They had come from Arkansas. My father's parents had moved to Oklahoma from Arkansas in 1895. And my stepmother was born in Arkansas, and my mother was born in Oklahoma also, Indian Territory. On my mother's side, they're Cherokee Indian and Irish and Welsh, and they moved to Oklahoma. My grandparents did, on my father's side. My grandfather had fought in the Civil War, my great grandfather, and he was going to claim land in Oklahoma, but he died before he got his land from the government, and that was the main reason they moved to Oklahoma.
That was your father's
side? Uh-huh, that was my father's side, the Martin side of my family.
Did you know much about your mother's side of the family?
Not too much, other than that they came from Arkansas also, but I don't know what year that my great-grandparents moved to Oklahoma. I don't know if they went there to claim land or not. Most people did during the land rush. But they, I don't think they got land, but my grandmother on my mother's side was Cherokee Indian, and she was entitled to land anyway, which she did not get because my grandfather, they didn't want to admit that they were Indian, and they just wanted to just blend in and not be noticed, I guess, that they were Indian. And my the land that my mother could have had was at Drumright, Oklahoma, and it was not good farming land, but it's good oil land. You know, they have a lot of oil there now. And my grandmother went to school with Will Rogers too. I thought I found that interesting. She said he was always mischievous, and he got expelled from school.
When the Depression came, you were probably only what, about 8 years old?
I was yeah, in 1929, I was seven. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any memory of that time, of how things changed for you and your family?
Well, I thought that, looking back, it seemed like we were fairly comfortable. My dad was working for the oil company when that started. And I remember he came home and told us about the banks closing and how some of the people cried and they couldn't get their money out of the bank. And things just got worse and worse and worse. And we just barely, I doubt if we made over $300 a year. The only difference was we were on the farm, and we did grow everything. He moved to the farm right after that happened.
Mm-hmm. Did your father lose his job there?
I don't know if he really lost his job or he just went to work, just decided to start farming full time. He was I know that he was a teamster that and he always drove mules because they were smaller, and he was a small person. I guess he couldn't handle the large horses. That's what I always thought. And they did lay off the men who were driving mule teams, and so that might be another reason why he went to farming full time. But it was just a living. We were lucky to have our vegetables and put away our canned goods for the winter, and kill a few hogs. I think he raised about 6 hogs every year to fatten. Well, he fattened them and we killed them, and they did us through the winter. We didn't have much beef, really. We had about 2 or 3 milk cows and our chickens.
So there wasn't anything left over for extras?
Nothing. Nothing at all. When it really got bad, I remember the WPA started and the NRA, but I think that might have been later, NRA, National Recovery Act, I think that was. And my dad, the last year we were in Oklahoma, my dad did work on WPA, and we did take food, but that's the only time I ever remember during all that time taking the food that they were giving out. We got canned beef or mutton, whichever it was, breakfast cereal, grapefruit, don't remember any beans, although we ate a lot of beans. Whatever they gave, and some clothing. I think they even gave some clothing to people, and a mattress. We got a mattress. But that was just the last year that we were in Oklahoma. I guess that must have been the worst year of the Depression for us.
We were just talking about that debate where they had to break it up. Do you remember any violence connected with Okies versus the Native Californians. Do you ever remember hearing of fights or?
No, I don't.
Any kind of violence like that?
Not at my school. I didn't.
I wondered about the health of most of the kids that came out from Oklahoma. I've heard that a lot of them, because they were very poor and perhaps didn't eat the right kinds of foods, had a lot of health problems. Did anyone in your family have any health problems, or do you remember other kids having problems like that?
No, in my family we didn't have any health problems, but I do remember some other kids. They told me that they had boils and that eating raisins helped them a lot. That was one of the best things, I think, for raisins. It's good for your blood. And but we didn't have, fortunately, we didn't have any dental problems or other health problems. Because I don't remember going to the doctor over, when I broke my arm. We didn't go for a checkup or go to the dentist for a checkup either. You had to really be sick because they just couldn't afford a doctor bill.
Could you tell me a little bit about your dad's first job here when he was working at the ranch?
He started in the fall, and the first job was pruning trees and grapes, peach trees, almond trees, and grapes. And he did that all winter, and I think they're almost all winter because they were a very large farm, the Bakeman Ranch was. And I think that he did get laid off for a short time during the winter. Then they had irrigation and ditch repair and a lot of things that he did.
So he did a little
he
bit
He did, uh-huh, everything on the farm.
Do you remember how much he was paid?
Yes, he was paid 40 cents an hour. And if he ever got a pay raise, I can't remember, but they did build a house for us. And I think he paid them $7 a month back for that house. And that included lights, because we didn't have gas, but there was electricity. So.
Do you remember ever seeing women and children working in the fields?
Yes, we did it. My stepmother and...
Did she work all the time?
When she could, when there was cotton she could pick or anything. Figs, worked in the figs and the peaches. We worked in the drying yard at the Bakeman Ranch, cutting peaches or packing peaches, whatever was in season at that time, we worked at it.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever not go to school in order to work?
No, I never stayed out of school.
Most of the time you worked was probably in the summer?
Uh-huh.
Or after school?
Uh-huh, and Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Was the work you did here difficult work? Was it strenuous?
No, not like Oklahoma. Something I forgot to mention, the last year we were in Oklahoma, my youngest half-brother was born that year in 1937, in June, and my stepmother couldn't help any in the field that year, so I helped my dad plant the cotton that year. He would plow the furrow, and then we had a cotton planter that you had to hold it up in your hands, and it had a little wheel on it, and my dad would fill that with cotton, and it had a mule hitched to it, and I followed him. All summer I helped him plant the cotton that summer, and that was strenuous.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did in California was much easier.
Mm-hmm.
Cutting,
like working in the packaging,
yeah,
or something like
much
that.
Easier.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember if you and your mother were paid very much for your work?
I don't remember how much we were paid for that work.
And did that help out for them?
Oh yes, we bought our school clothes with that. The money I earned, I paid for my school clothes that year. And I just don't remember if they paid us like a box. When we cut a box of peaches, you know, you have to pit them and put them on the drying trays. And I don't remember if we were paid by the box or by the hour, but I imagine we were paid by the box.
Mm-hmm. So your father did all kinds of odd jobs on the ranch. Was he ever out of work? You described one time where you thought he was laid off
for a
short while. Mm-hmm. But did that happen very often?
No, just in the winter, I guess, when they were all through pruning. But I remember that he worked for somebody else. If he got through at the Bakeman Ranch and they had nothing for him to do, he could go somewhere else and work if he could find a place where they needed someone to prune. And I remember he did do that.
Mm-hmm. So, as far as you remember, he was employed just
uh-huh.
about all the time.
Yes.
How long did he work for the Bakeman Ranch?
He worked from 37 until 1941, so that was 4 years. And then he farmed for himself. He rented a farm in Fresno County, and then he was there about 1 year, and then he went to Madera, and he farmed in Madera until about 1957, had his own farm. And then he came back and worked at the Bakeman Ranch again until he retired.
When you were first at the Bakeman Ranch in the late 30s, it sounds as though the growers really treated you pretty well. Do you remember how your father felt about his bosses?
Yes,
he liked them?
Yes, he did. They were very nice, the people. And they just helped us out a lot, really. Very nice. And they still see my dad when we've had a death in the family. They always are pallbearers, like with my stepmother and different ones. They've all come to the funeral and been pallbearers.
Mm-hmm. From what you've told me about the different jobs your father did, it sounds as though he was almost like an assistant to them.
Well,
like he might have had kind of a higher position than most of the other workers on the ranch.
I really hadn't thought of it like that, but when he came back in 57 to work for them, they did put him on the ranch to live in a house there that was just inside where their packing shed was. They have a house I guess you might say it was like a foreman, so maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I just never thought of it like that before, but I guess he was.
Kind of like a foreman.
Uh-huh.
Did they have other housing on the ranch for other people?
No, just my dad.
He was the only one who lived there
mm-hmm.
the first time in
uh-huh.
the late 30s.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have any tents thrown up or anything
no.
like that?
No, they didn't.
Do you remember where the people who worked in the fields lived?
The ones we knew, just the ones who were relatives, they just lived around. They rented a house somewhere in the Fresno or Clovis area.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of women who worked in the packing shed that, you know, they just lived in the area. But they didn't have like a farm labor camp or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Did you remember ever seeing any farm labor camps at other ranches?
No, I don't. In the Fresno area, I don't.
Mm-hmm. At that time, your father had a car he had bought, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you use that much? I've heard a lot of people that came from Oklahoma say that one of the best things about coming out here was that they had a car and they could go on, you know, weekend trips and travel around a little bit and see the countryside. Did you do any of that?
The only place we ever went was to Mooney Grove, and I think that's in Visalia. We
mm-hmm.
went there on a picnic twice, and the other times we just went to visit relatives or we came to see a movie here in Clovis on Saturday night, I think it was, and that's about all other than just work. We didn't run around much. We hadn't
mm-hmm.
been used to it, I guess.
Yeah.
And
so
we
for
just
your entertainment, you went to a movie once in a
uh-huh.
while. And
yeah.
Things like that. And you said you didn't go to church.
No, we didn't.
Did
no, we didn't. I don't know why. They just never started going to church while I was at home after that, after we moved to California.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said your mother worked when she could, but she also had six kids. Could you tell me a little bit about her day, how early she got up, and what sorts of things she had to get done for the kids before she went off to work?
Well, we got up early, 3 or 4 o'clock, and she got up and cooked breakfast.
Even here in California?
No, we didn't have to get up that early. We didn't have the farm animals. No, after California, I know they went to work early, but I don't really remember just how early. I think that it was still dark,
mm-hmm.
because if they started to work early, they could take off earlier in the day mm-hmm. when it was hot. And she didn't go out to work after we came to California. Like in Oklahoma, we had our own place.
Right.
So she could, the kids usually went to the field and they would play under a tree when they were real small. And she would work maybe 2 hours and then go back to the house and prepare lunch. And then maybe she'd work 2 or 3 hours in the afternoon. And she never really just went out to work. I can't remember, after we came to California, I'm sure somebody kept my little brother because he was, she probably didn't work until he was about 2 years old. I did. I worked at in the packing shed. But I can't remember a babysitter who kept my little brother when she went to work. But it was a lot different in California when a mother worked out, because in Oklahoma you worked for yourself. And here you know, it was for someone else.
When you came out here, did you go directly into high school?
Yeah, okay. Clovis High.
And did you graduate at that time?
I didn't graduate here. I got married and I went to finish school in Texas, El Paso, Texas. At a high school, like a continuation school. I think they call it Tech or something like that,
mm-hmm.
El Paso Tech. But I didn't finish in California.
Mm-hmm. When you quit school, was it to get married?
Well, I really went to work. I was 18 and I got a job that summer. I lived with some people and as a mother's helper. And then while I was living there, I got married and went to San Francisco to live and then went from there down to El Paso. The war had started and I finished high school in Texas.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about this hostility towards Okies when you were in high school. Did that continue throughout the whole time you were there? Or?
Well, I think so, and I think maybe we were a little hostile, too, because we thought, you know, we were just 100% American, and we were coming out here, and we were going to school with, I never heard of an Armenian, I never met an Italian, and I never had seen a Chinaman or a Japanese, and a Mexican. I'd never seen anyone of a nationality different than myself. And it just took a while to get used to these other nationalities, and we just thought, oh, you know, their parents didn't fight, and their grandparents didn't fight in the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, and we just felt, in my own family, my immediate family, I just think that was a feeling we had, and most of the kids that I talked to, we resented the Italians a lot. I don't know. I don't know really why, except that I think they always thought they were such good athletes. They thought they were good musicians, and everything. They just seemed to think they could do it better than anybody else, and we sort of resented them. And then maybe that didn't help us a lot either. But we were really I don't know, like hardly know the word to say what we really thought, but I imagine that they had that same feeling toward us too. See, they thought we were low class Okies, and maybe we were dumb and stuff like that. And
These other minorities.
Yeah, we were really a minority, I guess. So I know how it feels to be a minority.
Did you ever have those problems when you went into town, say if you went to a movie or a store or some other public place?
No, I never noticed it.
Just at school?
Uh-huh, just the kids. You know, children can be cruel. And when they're older, they probably feel ashamed of themselves that they were ever like that, but children are that way.
Did it bother you a great deal?
Yes, it did. It bothered me because I wanted better clothing and things, and I knew we couldn't afford them, and I just had to do with what I had. And it really did bother me a lot.
After the war started, do you think that well, of course you were out of high school too, but did that change a little bit? Do you think people stopped worrying about other people being Okies?
Yeah, I think so, because so many of them went to Oakland and San Francisco, and they worked in the shipyards. And so I think it did change, because we were all really fighting for our country then, working and getting war materials made, and we didn't think about.
When you said you moved to San Francisco, was that defense connected?
No, I got married, and he was in the service in the Coast Artillery in San Francisco Bay, and I went up there to live, and I started working at Letterman General Hospital, and I was working there when the Pearl Harbor was bombed, and on Christmas Day, we got the first patients from Pearl Harbor in the hospital on Christmas Day, 1941, and we worked all day that day. I was a nurse's aide.
And you said that a lot of the Okies moved up to Oakland and San Francisco to work in the shipyards and places like that. Did you know very many of them? Did you happen to run into people that were from Oklahoma?
My family, just members of my family. No, I didn't run into a lot of them, but just the ones in my family that went there to work or somewhere else to work. I think they also, people went east and just a lot of places, wherever the government sent them to work, but the ones in my family went to Oakland. I think it was Kaiser Shipyard where they worked during the war. And I have met some other people from Oklahoma, from the Okies that worked up there. Since then, I've heard people say they worked there during the war for Kaiser and somebody. I think there was another shipyard.
Going back just a little bit to the 30s, did your father, was he ever involved in, or did he ever come home and tell you about any attempts to unionize the farm workers?
No, not here in Fresno or the Bateman Ranch. Never once did I hear about it.
Mm-hmm. How about strikes? Do you ever remember hearing about strikes taking place?
No, I never did.
I wanted to ask you about the Grapes of Wrath. You said you had seen the movie. A lot of people don't think that was a very good representation of what most of the Okies were like. Did you have any thoughts about the movie when you saw it?
I just didn't think it was really true to life. It was kind of making fun in a way. And it just wasn't, I don't think it was like that at all, living in the camps like that, at least not in this area. But it was a good movie, and I enjoyed it, but I just don't think it really represented the people truly.
Mm-hmm. Were you insulted by it?
I did feel a little embarrassed because I had gone to the movie with some of the kids that were from the Clovis area, and they kind of laughed about it. And at the very end, I think it said "All aboard for Fresno," and there was a lot of yelling, and you know,
mm-hmm.
I felt a little bit embarrassed.
A lot of people that aren't Okies or haven't known Okies and don't know much about their situation, if they went to see The Grapes of Wrath or read the book, they might form an opinion of Okies just from that. Do you think that The Grapes of Wrath kind of gave Okies a bad name that way?
Yes.
Because that was about the only source of information for many people.
Yeah, I think so. It probably did. To me, the part that I felt so bad about at the time was when the grandmother died and they buried her along the road, and I just can't believe that they would really do that, because they were a close family. They, you know, how the mother loved her son, and what was his name anyway? Job. Henry Fonda.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't believe that they did those things.
Mm-hmm. Do you think other people who saw the movie believed it, though?
Yeah, I think so. They probably did. Yeah, I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about how when the kids would tease you and call you Okie, they might think that all Okies were dumb or ignorant or something.
Or dirty.
Dirty,
yeah.
That sort of thing. Were there other things they thought?
No, I can't.
That just about cover it?
Yeah.
Do you think that the term Okie has changed since then? Do you think when someone says Okie now, it means different things?
Yeah, it does. They still tease people, call them Okies because, oh, you do something dumb. You say, oh, Okie, or I don't know, maybe if you have on your work clothes, you're out working in the yard or something, you know, and you look like they did back in those
uh-huh.
days. I think mostly that's what they mean today. They'll say an Okie. They're just teasing.
Mm-hmm. It's not as strong.
No, it's not as strong.
Or as insulting.
No. It's not. In fact, I do it myself sometimes, just teasing. One time I was trying to make my son mow the yard, and I said, "Do you want it to look like Okies live here?" And he says, "Well, one does."
Yeah, so now it's kind of a teasing thing.
Yeah.
Rather
yeah.
than something cruel.
Yeah. And I really felt like they just meant people from Oklahoma. I didn't realize that, you know, it meant Arkansas and Texas and maybe somewhere else, too,
mm-hmm.
in those days. I thought, Okie, you know, that's half of Oklahoma, and, you know, Okie, Oklahoma. And I just felt like it was real personal to me.
Mm-hmm. When you came to California, were you glad you came here?
Oh, yeah. I was glad that we came. It was, well, like I said, the climate was better, and I was sure we'd have more to eat and see our relatives and eventually have a home and just blend in,
mm-hmm.
and which we did.
Did anything disappoint you?
No, not really. I think it was always better. Just
mm-hmm.
always got better.
Did you ever wish or want to go back to Oklahoma?
No, only since about the last 5 years I've wanted to go back just to see if things still look about
mm-hmm.
the same. And that's the only time I've really wanted to go back to Oklahoma and just spend maybe a week or a couple of days.
Do you have children?
Yes, I have a son. He lives here in Fresno. And he has one child. He's 21. He'll be 22 pretty soon. And that's about all.
Mm-hmm. What does he do?
He works for an insurance company, Pacific Mutual. He's a claims adjuster for Pacific Mutual Insurance Company. Mm-hmm. And he spent 3 years in the submarines, and he had an injury in the submarines that they gave him a medical discharge. So he won't have to go back, maybe ever.
Do you think that life is better here in California than it would have been for you if you had stayed in Oklahoma?
Yes, I think so. I think we got a better education. Girls always got married so young back there. I can remember girls when they were 13 getting married, and most of them at age 16 anyway by that time. And a few graduated from high school, and the boys usually started working on the farm. But more and more kids were going ahead and finishing high school. It used to be just the eighth grade, and that changed.
I'm going over in Blackstone and get
some more. Oh, that's okay.
Okay. I wish my voice.
Just talking about how times were so bad when the Depression came. Do you remember the situation that your neighbors and friends were in? Were they as bad off as you were?
Yes, they were. I can't remember anyone having anything better than us, and there were some worse off than us too. I remember being at some people's house at lunchtime, and they didn't even have plates. That was about, they had lids, like, you know, those lard buckets. They were like 1 gallon buckets, and they had those lids, and that's what they were using for plates. And their house must have been built in 1850, because it just looked like it was going to fall down. And I remember some people that didn't have enough covers for their beds, and maybe just a change of clothing, like two dresses or something like that. And I remember too that with us, and I think everybody else, we used to put cardboard soles in our shoes, and you'd have to change them almost every day. You'd wear them out. I know we got one pair of shoes when school started, and it seemed like they lasted us all winter, and we just simply outgrew them by springtime. The toes were coming out, holes in the bottom. That's when we put the cardboard soles in.
Mm-hmm. At that time, your father started farming full time. You said he stopped working for the
oil company.
He started farming full time.
Uh huh.
Can you describe his situation to me? How it got, I guess it got worse each year.
Well, what we grew, what we sold, there was just, it was sold so cheaply. Like, I remember 50 pounds or 100 pounds of potatoes. I don't think he even got a dollar for like 50 pounds of potatoes. And we grew peanuts, and we sold them by, I guess, the bushel or whatever. They sold them by a 100-pound sack or bushel. And there just wasn't much money around. They just sold so cheap. Even eggs we sold when we had eggs to sell, 11 cents a dozen. And he grew a tobacco crop 1 year, and he didn't make much off of that. And of course, everything he made, it was sharecropping, and we had to give half of it to the person who owned the property, the bank. It was owned by the bank in Maud.
So he finally just decided that he wasn't going to make any money off farming. Did he decide to come to California then?
Well, that was in 1937. There was also, after Roosevelt was, well, he was elected in 32, I think, but in 33, I think it was, he had the farmers plow up their cotton crop. We had, or whatever they were growing, because I guess there was a surplus on the market, and he maybe thought that would bring prices up, I don't know. But my father plowed under his cotton crop that year, and I know we didn't get paid for all of that until about 1940, and I don't know how far back it went. I don't remember if he got paid for any of it while we were in Oklahoma. But after he came to California, he got paid for some of the crops he plowed under in Oklahoma.
It took that long for the government to
pay? It took that long. I remember when he wrote to someone in Maud or either to Washington, D.C., and he got some of that money after we came to California. And
how did he feel about plowing under the field?
Well, it seemed all right at the time because he didn't know he was going to have to wait so long to get the money, to get paid for it. And I've heard that some of the politicians in Maud got some of the money. Somebody told me that about 2 months ago from Maud, Oklahoma. They said that they were pretty sure that some of the people there got some of that money.
It bothered some of the farmers to plow under crops when people were going hungry or without clothes or whatever. And it bothered them that they had to plow under these crops.
Well, I can't remember him plowing under anything but cotton. We grew a lot of other things, alfalfa or wheat, alfalfa, and our cane, our sugar cane. We made our sorghum every year from that, a syrup, and things like that. I don't remember him ever plowing under anything that was edible.
Do you remember people ever killing cattle or hogs because the government told them they had to?
No, I don't. In our area, I don't believe it ever happened. I don't even remember my father talking about that during the Depression time, unless they were sick.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember much about when the drought came?
Well, yes, I remember that the rain, we didn't have rain, there was a lot of dust, but I always thought that the dust came from Texas. I never thought that it was Oklahoma dust because I just don't remember that much wind in our area. And, well, we were more in the fringe of the Ozarks, and there were more trees, and it was more hilly, and a lot of shrubs and creeks, and but we had a lot of dust. I can remember we didn't see the sky sometimes, really. Just the sun would just be a bright spot up there, and we would have to clean the kitchen every morning before breakfast. We could write our name on the table or anywhere in the house, and but I always thought it came from Texas. My stepmother was telling us, you know, reading in the paper that people were dying in Texas. They had to keep a damp cloth over their face. They were suffocating. But it wasn't that bad in our part of Oklahoma, in Seminole County.
Mm-hmm. I've heard some people say that tractors came into widespread use about that time, and that put a lot of people out of jobs. Do you remember ever seeing very many tractors?
Not in our community. I can't remember. One farmer had his land terraced so that it wouldn't wash away, like when the rains came in the winter and spring, to try to cut down on erosion. We did have an erosion problem, but other than that, I never saw a tractor in our part of the country.
Was there something that happened to your father's farming that just finally made him decide to give it up and come to California?
Just that there was just no money in it. I asked him just last week how many acres we farmed, and he said 80 acres, and we just didn't get much off of that 80 acres. The cotton was like, I don't know, 2 inches high or whatever. It was sure small.
So the drought and the dust
mm-hmm.
really affected the quality of his crop.
Yes, yeah. And most of our relatives had already come to California anyway, and so we just followed.
Mm-hmm. But what I mean, was there any last straw or any incident that finally made you decide to come?
Just being so poor, I guess we just thought that if we came to California, we would have a better life, more to eat, and make sure we got a better education. Mm-hmm. I always felt that, you know, we heard that schools, your books were free in California. You didn't have to buy your school books. And that way, I felt sure I could go on to school.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of impressions did you have of California, other than the school and books being free? Did you have a picture in your mind of what California would look like?
Well, I saw postcards of the oranges, and that's what I had in mind, mostly was the oranges and the warmer winters, and just the sunny, better place to live, everything, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever consider going to someplace other than California? Of leaving Oklahoma and going to another state?
Never thought of it.
California was
the only place from about 1932 until we finally got here.
Mm-hmm. Did you talk about it a lot before you came? Was it always sort of in the back of your mind that we might eventually go to California?
Yes. Every year I hoped that would be our last year, that would be the last crop. The work was so hard and so little in return. And I just, every year, I just hoped that my father would decide to come to California. And he started talking about it that year, I think in about July. And I just kept praying that he wouldn't change his mind. And after the crops were gathered, we really, really did come to California.
You say that you had relatives that were out
here. Yes.
Did they write you?
Yes.
And send you pictures, postcards, that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Do you remember what they said?
No.
Just that it would be better?
Yeah, that, one reason I guess I wanted to come is my mother's relatives, and they lived here, and I had never known my mother's relatives. Mm-hmm. And I just really looked forward to it, getting to acquainted with my uncles and my aunts and my grandfather, and I think that was one thing that I had in mind, getting to see them. And I always wished that I could go live with them, but it didn't happen.
When you were in Oklahoma, did the other people, your friends and classmates, other people you knew in Maud, did they talk about going to California too? Was this something pretty common?
Not very many of them. Probably one thing that drew us here, if we hadn't have had relatives here, we might not have come either, even though we wanted to awfully bad, because my father already had the promise of a job when we came here, so he might not have come either. But I can't remember any other people in our community that came at that time. I do know there's some here now, but they were still there when we left.
Could you tell me about the journey out here? Did you come by car?
We did. We came by car. There was a man in our neighborhood who had brought his family to Bakersfield. And he still had part of his family in Maud, and he came back to get his two of his sons, and we came with him. So that there were six of us and three of them, so that made nine people in a 37 Chevrolet. It was a 1937. My dad paid him $25 to bring us to California. And we...
But they were just six of you?
Uh-huh. My dad didn't come with us. He still had to sell the farming equipment.
Oh.
And he came about 2 weeks later on the Greyhound bus.
So was your stepmother?
It's my stepmother and my two sisters and three brothers came with Mr. Thomas, John Thomas, to Bakersfield. That's where his family lived. And the first night we stayed in Albuquerque, New Mexico, in a hotel. And then the next day we drove all the way through to Bakersfield, California.
So you made it in just 2 days?
In 2 days.
Did you have any car trouble along the way?
He did have a little car trouble, but I can't remember too much about that. I know we came over where it gets so hot. Somewhere where it gets so hot, and that was in October, and the car did give him a little trouble. It was with heat, and I don't think it delayed us very long because we only stayed over one night. And then when we got to Bakersfield, we stayed with his family that night. So we made it in 2 days.
So you just had one night out, mm-hmm. which you stayed in a mm-hmm. hotel. How about your meals on the way out? Did you just stop by the road to eat, or did you eat in cafes? Or
We had breakfast. The one breakfast we had in a cafe. But the other times we did buy food and stop somewhere along the road and eat.
Mm-hmm. Did your stepmother have very much money with her on the way out?
I don't remember how much money she had with her when we came.
Do you remember seeing other cars along the way with people that you might think were from Oklahoma? I've heard that there were lots of sort of jalopies with mattresses and pots and pans, and sometimes even live chickens in them and loaded down with people. Do you remember seeing anything like that?
Yes, but I don't know about the live chickens, but I know there was a lot of people coming out, and they did put their mattresses on top. That's the way my grandparents came. They brought everything they could bring, they said. And when we crossed the border into California, and the border patrolman looked in the car and he says, "Can't you get any more in there?" Because there was nine of us in that little car, and it was very uncomfortable. So I know he was used to seeing a lot of people every day come through there.
Did you have any problems at the border?
No. They just, I don't know what they were doing, maybe keeping track of how many people were coming through, or, well, we had come through Arizona, I believe. Arizona? Well, anyway, they always check cars coming into California to make sure you're not bringing in fruit or something from another state. And I think maybe that's why he was checking us.
Do you remember when you came in to the valley here? You probably came through the Tehachapis. Do you remember coming into the mm-hmm. valley and mm-hmm. seeing it?
Well, you know, we arrived there at night time, to Bakersfield at night time. So I don't recall, I remember the next morning when we started for Fresno, just that long stretch of road and the eucalyptus trees. I had never seen them before. And just the long road to Fresno seemed like a long, long trip.
Why was your destination at near Fresno?
We had relatives here. My stepmother's brothers were here, her sisters, and my mother's family lived out on the San Joaquin River. My grandfather had rented a farm there and was living out farming.
So did your father come out soon after that?
Yes, but he came about 2 weeks after we did. I don't think it was longer than 2 weeks. After that, he rode the bus, Greyhound bus. And then he started working for the Bakeman Ranch.
You said he had a promise of a job.
Uh-huh,
how
he
did he arrange that before he came out here?
My stepmother's brothers was working at the Bakeman Ranch, and they needed someone else, and my dad came and they hired him. And he worked there until 1941, I guess he worked at the Bakeman Ranch until then. I was already gone from home by then when he quit working there.
Mm-hmm. When you were back in Oklahoma and thinking of coming to California, did you ever see any flyers that were circulated advertising jobs in California? Did you hear of anything like that?
I heard of them, and I remember one that wanted grape pickers in California. But I've heard that they were circulated all over the state.
Did you see this one?
Just one. Uh-huh.
Do you remember what it looked like? Or
no, I don't. I can remember looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone had said, you know, they want grape pickers in California, but I don't remember what it looked like.
Mm-hmm. But your father got this promise of a job, and he started working for the Bakeman Ranch. Then where did you move to?
We rented a small house. It's not too far from here on Olive Avenue. And we lived there for, I don't know, maybe a year. And then the Bakemans built a house for us. We lived in a house that they built for us, a small three-bedroom house.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was three, but anyway.
Could you describe that first house you lived in? Do you remember how big that
one
was?
Oh, that one. Oh, I'd forgotten about that one. Yes, that was just a real tiny little house. Some Mexican people had been living in it. And it was strange to me because they had cooked tortillas on the stove that was in the kitchen. And there was little circles on the stove. And it had a kitchen and two bedrooms. We used them as two bedrooms. Probably one was supposed to be a living room.
Mm-hmm.
And a bedroom. But we had made two bedrooms out of them. And that was our first little house. Was unpainted, no grass in the yard or anything. It was just a little house, like
a toilet outdoors.
And yes, it was outdoors. It was just like a farm labor cabin or something like that,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
You lived in there about a year?
Oh, not that house.
Oh.
We only lived there a very short time, and then we moved into a house that was just next to it,
mm-hmm.
that had we still had the bathroom outside, but. It was a better house. It had a screened-in porch, and it looked nice. And we had grass in the yard, and pump for our water. It was closer to the house. The other house, we had to carry our water from the house that we moved to, the next house, the one I was just describing. They had a pump, and we had to get our water from there.
What kind of possessions had you brought from Oklahoma when you came out? Did you bring just your clothes, or had you brought some cooking utensils and things to use in your new house?
No, we just brought our clothing. A suitcase full of clothing is all we brought. And when my dad stayed and he sold our mules and, you know, our farming equipment, and the money he got from the farming equipment, we bought furniture and everything, and a car, and everything was paid for. My father never charged, never had a credit account, charge account. And so they bought two bedrooms full of furniture, and the stove was furnished. We bought an ice box, and it was all paid for.
Mm-hmm. And that was about how long?
It was before Christmas. We must have only lived in that first little house I described maybe a month or
mm-hmm.
6 weeks, because it was before Christmas, because I remember.
Had he saved all this money from his job?
No, he sold the farming equipment in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
What
yeah,
we had.
I thought maybe he had added.
No, because
to that
he hadn't.
Job.
No, he hadn't worked that long, and it was only 40 cents an hour, and so that was the $2.40 a day, wasn't it? Or $3.20 a day he made.
Mm-hmm.
And so he couldn't, you know, there wasn't enough to save anything. That was just enough to buy groceries.
So that was, you bought that all with the money from the farm?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember meeting other kids that were in the same situation you were in that had come from Oklahoma and their parents were working in the fields?
Well, I remember going to school with them, and we did pick cotton with some of the kids who had come from Oklahoma. We were just, we weren't real close, I guess. We just knew them. We didn't associate much with them, as I remember. Just knew them in school. And after we came to California, of course, we didn't go to church like we did in Oklahoma. It was just not the same in that respect at all.
Do you remember if you were very well off as compared to some of the other?
I don't think we were.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever remember seeing ditch camps where?
No,
say by rivers or under bridges where people would just pitch tents or maybe build paper shacks, something like that.
I do too remember because even here in Fresno, I see some of the corners today where I remember that there used to be tents. People lived in tents, and the trees are still there, but maybe if there was an old service station, that's gone. There's something else there, but the trees are still there, and I think about that. And here in Clovis, one morning when I was going to school, on one of the corners, when the school bus turned the corner, there was a whole camp set up there just overnight.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember anything about them?
Just that they would just look poor. They were just people, maybe farm workers going from one crop to the next. I don't remember. Just mm-hmm. a lot of poor people and with their old cars and tents. And there's places down in Southern California, I remember, that they would live there for a long time. It's between Beaumont and Banning and Palms and Desert Hot Springs. And I thought about that when we went down that way last summer, because those trees are still there. I came through there even when the war started, and after the war there were still a lot of people that were pretty bad off that still mm-hmm. lived like that. They could do it in California, but now they can't.
Did you realize that these people were from Oklahoma? Most of them were from either Texas, Oklahoma, or Missouri, and were farm workers?
Mm-hmm. I did, because that was the only ones. The people, the Californians, they all had established homes, farms, and places, and they just didn't travel like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit like the Mexican farm laborers today.
Right.
Going.
How did you feel about yourself and your family then when you saw these very poor people? Did you feel fortunate that you had a fairly nice home to live in and enough food? And
yes, I did. I felt fortunate that we didn't travel from one job to the next or have to, you know. I don't know if they got welfare in those days. I don't know what kind of help they got if they couldn't find a job.
Did you ever hear anything about the government camps?
No, I didn't know there was such thing until I saw the Grapes of Wrath. I never heard of them.
Mm-hmm. How about the schools out here? You mentioned before that some of the kids made fun of you and teased you a little bit.
Yeah, they did. Our clothing were a little different, and of course grammar was different, or, you know, we said a lot of words differently, and they teased us a lot about that, which, you know, right away we started trying to change that. But there's some of it you can never get rid of, you know, when you're older like I was. But we worked hard trying to sound like a Californian.
mm-hmm. Was most of it just kind of in fun, or was any of it cruel? Did you ever feel like they were being unfair and cruel to you.
Yeah, the older kids, they were being cruel, but you know, the younger ones our age, they teased us a lot, but there was a little difference when, like in study hall once, two girls, one sitting on my right and one right in front of me, they sat there and talked about what I was wearing, how long my dress was, and wonder if she's ever going to cut it off, and things like that, you know, and they just, oh, we curled our hair a little different, and just, you know.
Mm-hmm. Were there very many other girls from Oklahoma in your high schools, other girls that you might have made friends with?
I didn't really make friends with any girls from Oklahoma. The one girl I made friends with was a native Californian, and she lives about three blocks from here. I see her occasionally, but I didn't really make friends.
So you felt very different then?
Yeah.
That you were being picked on, you were being isolated?
Well, they made fun of a lot of us, and I remember once we had a debate in assembly, and it started out about the Okies coming to California, and we almost had a fight, and the teachers had to dismiss assembly right away because there would have been a fight, because I imagine it just seemed like half the kids were there were from Oklahoma, and it was just about to erupt into a brawl.
Do you remember the sorts of things they said to you or about you and other Okies?
Well, I remember after the Grapes of Wrath that if there was a car accident, it was usually one of the Jobs or something. I think that's who they were in the Grapes of Wrath. And my aunt married a fellow from Los Angeles, and he used to tease us a lot, but we really thought a lot of him, and he just teased. But he said every time the traffic held up, he says, I just know there's going to be a car up there with some mattresses on top. And he says, most of the time there really is. And, you know, people, they just always were saying that the Okies couldn't drive. Maybe they couldn't, I don't know, because we were still riding in a wagon. We didn't have a car in Oklahoma. When we went to town, we went in a wagon. But my father did know how to drive.